Wes, what a great job you did this morning, my friend. You're really, really coming up notches in your emceeing. Good man. My wife's saying you're still single, but we won't go there because we're not in the habit of matchmaking in our church. We think it organically will happen anyway. And that's another reason to be involved in more than just our church, because C3WA meet with four other youth, or four youth groups get together. And so they have an opportunity to say, well, that's not bad. Anyway, we were all young once, you know. Who knows it's great to be married? I said, who knows it's great to be married? Some of you aren't quite sure. You know, you will get through your hurdles if you just hang in there and have a love for Christ together. I can assure you of that. I have a message on marriage which I haven't preached, which God gave me a while ago, which I must preach one day. But today's not the day. Today we're going to continue a series. Have we finished with the offering? We have. So we started a series last week called... it's on the screen, actually. AJ's going to help me. Obstacles are meant to be overcome. Say it with me. Obstacles are meant to be overcome. And last week started this message, and I promised that I'd finish my illustration too, on which I started with Andrew and I when we first moved into Fremantle. I had people asking me what actually happened after the service. So I will get there this morning. And so the title of my message this morning is Be Positively Charged and Overcome. Be positively charged. This will get more meaning as this message goes along. The Lord said to Moses, this is Numbers 13, 1 and 2. If you have your Bibles, turn to Numbers 13 and 14. I will probably stay there most of this morning. The Lord now said to Moses, send men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I'm giving to Israel. And I want to just give an overview of last week before bringing in some new material this morning so that we can continue this series. And these men were sent to explore the land. You know, it's great to explore things in the intention of actually participating with God to overcome in an area of your life. And how's that mic? Is it all right? Seem to go a bit low. We're good? Thanks. And so you must explore the options that are available to us. And I'm of the opinion that the Lord's desire is to give us a lot of things that are beyond our reach. Yeah. Turn to your neighbor and say, God wants to give you stuff that you can't see right now. And so even though God said to Moses, I am giving this land to Israel... It was up to the people. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's up to me. It's up to the people to make the word from the Lord a reality. Yes? There must be some faith on our part, some action on our part. And so last Sunday, I started a personal illustration. When Andrew and I decided we were going to move to Fremantle, which is now 20 years ago. And we asked a real estate agent to drive us around, and he took us around in his nice flash Volvo, looking at all these various properties. And we did this for a number of months, and nothing really suited at that particular time in the property market. Our family that was growing with two children, we could get a small place, but we just didn't feel that was what God wanted. And so, we knew too that God wanted us to be in the city of Fremantle. That was very clear to us. And the desire that God wanted us hadn't diminished. And we'd had outsiders, many of you know, well, they're not outsiders to us, but from not in this church. And I'd kept relationship with Pastor John and Diane Finkeldy and other pastors. And they said, no, I think you need to be in Fremantle. Even one of the other young men, well, he's not that young, he's my age, but I guess he's young at heart. And that used to run a church. He said, Nigel, you need to, just not far from here. He said to me, Nigel, you need to stay in Fremantle. He felt like when he was praying that that's what God wanted for us. And so we knew we needed to be in Fremantle. Is anyone glad that we're in Fremantle? Okay. And so what happened was I got this scripture that God wanted to raise up, a really interesting scripture from Isaiah, that God wanted to raise up old foundations. And 20 years ago, Fremantle physically was kind of like needed a bit of regrowth, which to some degree has happened. But I was thinking from a city point of view, but also that the streets would come alive again. It talks about in Isaiah as well. And I felt like we were walking through these streets and bringing things back to life that had been dead spiritually for a long time. And so all this was going around in our hearts. And all this searching for a house, and we couldn't find anything. And in the end, decided that we'd just put it on hold for a few months. And out of the blue, the real estate agent rang me up a few months later and said, I want you to have a look at something. It's not a house, but I want you to have a look at this block. And so we went and had a look at this block, and it was in a great position opposite the Royal Fremantle Golf Course. I could see why it hadn't been bought, because it was an odd shape. And it was really sort of squeezed between two other houses. And I had a look at it, and then there was these two big, and they were big trees. Massive big gum trees on the property, and I thought that's going to be expensive to remove those trees, and I thought, but you know, maybe we could do something with it, and rather than just say no, it's too hard. You know, it's always good to progress or just see how things pan out, rather than just say no, that's not going to work. Well, wasn't long after that through discussions with the owner of the property that we ended up getting that property. I can't remember how much it was now, so I won't even. But we got it for half of its listed price. Some friend who knew a friend in the real estate business got the trees removed for almost nothing. And you see, God wanted us to be planted in the city of Fremantle. And for what looked like it was just going to be a no-goer, God turned around. Now, you could just say that was coincidence, but I believe that when you actually participate with God in the future of what God has for you, there is great blessing that will come on your life. And so after exploring the land for 40 days, the Bible says, the men returned. I'm going to continue the story in a little while, my personal story as well. And the men agreed it was a magnificent land. The men agreed it was a land flowing with milk and honey. The men were impressed with its produce. And then they said, but we can't live here. There's too many giants. There's fortified cities. I want to say today, never say it can't be done. Never say can't. Who said, oh, we can't do that recently? I probably have. Sometimes we say these things, it can't be done. Can I encourage us this morning to try and change our vocabulary? And rather than say it can't be done, maybe God can help us to see a way forward in this. See, negativity is the enemy of the creative power of God. Thanks, AJ. And what was the purpose for sending the leaders into Canaan? To progress Israel's future. You know, God wants to progress your future. You know, God wants the best for you. You know, God wants blessing for your life. You know what? God wants to give you more resources than you have now. God is, it's the enemy that tries to keep things from us, in actual fact. He is here. He sent his son to die. That's how much he loves you. Do you think he wants to give you more than that? Some of you are not sure. Well, by the end of this message, you can be sure. I will assure you. You see, there is a cost to negativity. I mentioned some of these stats last week. The Gallup organization said that it costs the U.S. economy for negativity in the workforce $250 to $300 billion every year in lost productivity. Here's an interesting one. None of C3 Fremantle are like this. Just repeating another stat from last week, 90% of doctor's visits are stress-related. So only 10% are really important, like where we fear that something might be wrong when we go to the doctor. We think the worst. None of us have ever done that here. Here's an interesting thing from the Royal Australian College of Physicians, a health and productivity in the workforce paper that they drew up. Is a positive workplace. A positive workplace culture is one that aligns employees' self-interest with the organization's activities and objectives. When successful, the results are good relationships, high morale, trust and personal commitment, as well as a profitable bottom line in both social and financial terms. Who'd like to be working for someone like that? Or in that kind of environment, where both the employee and the employer, it's a win-win. Here's the opposite, which they also found, a negative workplace. The outcome of a negative workplace culture is conflict. Who knows when you're negative, it's really easy to get conflict. No, just me? Who knows when you're negative that usually there's tension? Is that right? Who knows when you're negative, it's easy to see the doom and gloom, and before you know it, everyone else is up unhappy as well. Not a nice environment to work in, right? An outcome of negative workplace culture is conflict, poor relationships, distrust, and a lack of commitment. Social and financial outcomes suffer. And so, we are unable to create our future from a negative disposition. Employers, when we're positive, I'll include Andrew and I in this, when we're positive and we have a great, well, when we're down, it's very hard to lift our staff. So it's much better to actually go, come on, Lord, there's got to be, that's why I've introduced good news the last few years into our church environment, because it's much better to actually say something positive and change the vision of our future. And so if the Lord delights in us, Numbers 14 verse 8, then he will bring us into the land, this is Caleb speaking, and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. See, what I'm getting at this morning is that our negativity can actually stop us from entering into the land of milk and honey. And if God has placed a desire in your heart, and if you have a word from God, never stop believing that that thing can come to pass in your life. And so the importance of positivity from the University of Minnesota, they've done this study, and the scientist Barbara Fredrickson has shown that positive emotions have two important effects. Turn to your neighbour and say, it's better to be positive. It says this, they broaden our perspective. This is a scientist, Barbara Fredrickson from the University of Minnesota. They broaden our perspective on the world, thus inspiring more creativity, wonder, and options. And they build up over time, creating lasting emotional resilience and flourishing. It sounds a bit like Romans 12, renewing of your mind. We can change who we are. And there's scientific proof that it's better to be positive than negative. Dr. Barbara Fredrickson has spent years researching and publishing the physical and emotional benefits of positivity. Here are her conclusions. Faster recovery from cardiovascular stress. Better sleep. When you're positive, you sleep better. Fewer colds. A greater sense of overall happiness. And the good news is, and this is what she's written, the good news is that positive attitudes such as playfulness, gratitude, awe, love, interest, contentment, and feeling connected to others have a direct impact on health and well-being, and we can develop these traits ourselves with practice. Or you can take the alternative route. Negative emotions are associated with a decreased lifespan and longevity, increased risk of heart attack, increased risk of stroke. I love this one. Well, not really. Weight gain. What do you do when you're stressed? Comfort food. All right, let's not go there. Here's one. Back pain. Digestive problems. Less energy, fewer friends, and less success. And even after all this negativity, Joshua and Caleb led with courage and confidence. Even though everyone's saying it can't be done, they are saying the Lord delights in us, we will come into the land of milk and honey. And this is Christian leadership amidst adversity. When everyone else around is saying it can't be done, but I tell you, sometimes that's just the way it's going to be when we live the Christian life. That there are opportunities and there are situations where we know that God has spoken to us and He'd already spoken to them and said, He is going to give you this land. They rejected God. Don't reject God because you're not in communication with Him today. Get back right with Him. Communicate with Him. There are situations that God can overcome in your life right now simply by you believing in God and asking Him to come into that problem because He's there to help you solve it. It's a choice we make. And so, here's a quote that I'd like to give you this morning. The more you focus on what could be, this is my quote, the more you focus on what could be, the more God will develop your faith to achieve what could be. The more you focus on what could be, the more God will develop your faith to achieve what could be. Now, I've got Superman up there for a reason. Christopher Reeve said this. He's Superman. So many of our dreams at first seem impossible. Then they seem improbable. And then when we summon the will, they soon become inevitable. And so God can't work with negativity because negativity opposes His creative power. God can't work with negativity because it opposes faith. And the truth is, negativity is the enemy of creativity. And so God was going to help Israel create a bright future. He was going to bring glory to His name, defeating the giants in the land. Their negativity brought their future to an end. When someone, listen to this from Karen Miller. She's a research person in the executive world. When someone tells me no, it doesn't mean I can't do it. It simply means I can't do it with them. Hey? Isn't that true? When someone tells me we can't do it, it doesn't mean I can't do it. It just means I can't do it with them. I love that. We are excluded from God's blessing only by excluding ourselves. So let me go back to our story. So Andrew and I, by this stage, Jared was probably about 4 months old. We'd looked at so many houses, maybe a bit older, Jared, I mean. And they were unsuitable. And I said, I got a call for this piece of land. And we signed the paperwork. We actually signed the contract with a builder, found one of the cheapest builders we could find because we were back then. I was working as sort of like a lawnmower man and trying to build the church. And Andrea was sort of in and out of work at that stage. And so we signed the documentation for the bank and we'd made, we'd, what did we, what we just decided we'd move forward with what God We didn't even know how we were going to make it happen. But we managed to get a... it was a quite remarkable piece of... a time period, because the money that I was earning, they weren't supposed to give me the loan. And it was something like $20,000, not much more, for the 6 months that I'd earned that they could show on paper. And they said, you know what, we're going to give you the loan anyway. It was quite remarkable for this period. This is 20 years ago, so $20,000 is obviously worth a bit more. But even so, you know, it was just another reason, you know, hey, God's in this. And so, anyway, two-thirds of the way through the build. And it was quite a long house. And the supervisor actually came up to me one day when I was looking at the place, and he said, we've run out of cement. Your quota of cement's gone, and we've still got lots of brickwork to do, and we've got to finish the house. And I said, oh, okay. I didn't really think much of it. And then we get a phone call. And they wanted to charge us, on top of the contract that we'd already signed to finish the build, another $22,000. We didn't have anywhere near that amount of money. There was no way we were going to do that, but we'd signed the contract. Now, this is where my Andrea is very good at this kind of thing, and she wrote a brilliant letter. She's good at that stuff. And so I get a phone call a couple of weeks later from the boss man of the building company. And the boss man of the building company says, Nigel, we're going to finish your house. Don't worry about it. It's all going to be under control. They have to tick their boxes, the people in the offices. Yes, we've underestimated your job, but we're going to finish your house. Come on. Yeah. Sometimes it's great to have a friend in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ on your side. Now, in this experience, we could have really lost it. We could have complained, could have, you know, done all sorts of things, and we felt in the Lord not to do that, to stay on good terms. What was it that the Lord said to Moses? I am giving you this land. Turn to your neighbor and say, explore to overcome. See, sometimes life throws you curveballs. And who we put our trust in will make the difference in how it will be resolved. And so we all have opportunities. And there may be an employment opportunity. And you think, that's not desirable. Maybe don't be so quick to say it's not desirable. You don't know what God can do. If you've got no work and there's a job opportunity, don't say no so quickly. You don't know what God can do. It might open up a whole new world for you. A house opportunity, perhaps buying a house, may present like pretty gloomy, like it was for us originally. But what could it be with a little creativity? What about relationships? You know, best advice I can give you is if you will marry someone with similar values and vision to you that loves the Lord Jesus Christ like you do. Otherwise, it's going to get negative. And maybe you are married and it's not going so well. I have a few questions for you. Are you being uncooperative, unhelpful, cynical, or obstructive? Are you going down the negative path rather than the positive path? Let's explore to overcome rather than allowing the negatives to destroy what we have. Let's put up the next, you know, I want to talk to you this morning also about being positively charged, which is the title of this message. See, our future in Him is based on bringing down strongholds, giants, and oppressors. The Christian life is about bringing down and overcoming. It's about destroying those things that are obstacles in our path, and that our faith grows to new heights as we overcome, either because of our history, our upbringing, whatever, but Christ conquers all. And so Caleb tried to encourage the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. Does that sound pretty positive to you? That's a positive spirit. It is going to be different than that of the normal-minded person. When you have a positive spirit, when you have faith in your God, you're not thinking the same as everybody else. But that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It just means that you are going to have to push in and trust God and watch that people grow towards you and are with you and for you and build with those kind of people. You see, a man of bold, generous, and heroic faith was Caleb. A man who was able to live above worldly anxieties and fears. Did you hear me on that one? We can live above worldly anxieties and fears. The people of Israel had removed the positive and were unable to overcome the positives with positive talk. The land looked so marvelous, yet they couldn't see what God had seen and what God was going to give them. In Home Mechanic magazine, probably asking what's Nigel doing looking at a magazine on mechanics. It just happened to come up when I pushed in positive and negative on the Google. And I found this illustration quite interesting. I have a PowerPoint, which I'd like to show you. It's just a battery. That's all it is. When you disconnect a car battery, I learned something. When you disconnect a car battery, you should disconnect the negative first. Say it with me. When you disconnect a car battery, you should disconnect the negative first. When you disconnect a car battery, oh, there's a reason for this, you should disconnect the negative first. One more time. When you disconnect a car battery, you should disconnect the negative first. Okay, we've got it. And when reconnecting, you connect the positive first. There was this dentist who was working on his sports car, and he decided to take out the battery, removing the positive first. What's the rule? Always disconnect. His wedding ring got caught on the battery bracket, causing his ring to be welded to the bracket, and it started to glow red hot, and he nearly lost his entire finger. When we take away the negatives first, the positives are our friend. When we take away the positives first, or we discount them, the negatives will power us out. And so, who's been doing their journal articles? You know, I said a few months ago that we would put a positive in our diary. And so I've got a few positives here that have actually helped me go to sleep much easier. Because sometimes, who knows that you have rotten days? Am I the only one? I had a boot, this is the 20th of March, and I wrote this. I'm driving with my boot on. That was a win, because I couldn't drive. And then, on the 1st of April, my boot is off. Yoo-hoo-pee. 21st of April, wonderful presence of God at the prayer meeting. 6th of May, Andrea finished an assignment in one night. Amazing. 17th of May, great visionary leaders meeting. It was about Wellard. A bunch of us went down to the place where we're going to start the church next year, the campus, C3 Wellard. And it was just like, I just couldn't stop saying, wow. I wrote it down. Wow. That's all I could think of. What a great facility. Our story, our future is up to $78,570. Thank you, Lord. That means so much. And then lastly, superb dinner with friends last night. That's the 30th of May. It doesn't have to be anything, you know. Just write something positive in your diaries. My servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit, turn to your neighbour and say, have a different spirit. I'm going to talk about this next week. The no complaining rule. You don't want to miss next week. You see, I'm of the opinion that if we don't make God our enemy, we will succeed against all our enemies. If we don't make God our enemy, we will succeed against all our enemies. You know, general manager of the building company, the story I was telling you, came to see me in our humble offices. It's back at the corner of Ray Avenue and Hampton Road. Our first full-time church facility. And he had had some very painful and traumatic personal circumstances. And the big boss had said, why don't you go and see Pastor Nigel? We're building his house in the city of Frio. Why don't you go and just talk to him? And he poured out his heart. And at the appropriate moment, we prayed together, this gentleman and I, who runs this massive organisation. You know, through the difficulties we faced in building our first home in Fremantle, and the boss of that building company and I becoming acquaintances for a period of time, and he found out what we did. The general manager and myself got talking and came to my office several times. I want to tell you this morning, obstacles are meant to be overcome. And you don't know what God can do when you remain positive and put things into God's hands. See, giants cannot stay in the way of Christ's work. And if his people will be valiant in his strength. You know, valiant means brave, fearless, lion-hearted courage. Remember the Valiant Chrysler? Well, maybe the motors weren't so good, but anyway. You know, and Andrew and I have nothing but respect for this company. Even today. And I recommended them to other pastors, in fact, who are really pleased with the outcome of their houses. But something else happened. And it wouldn't have happened if we hadn't kept a good spirit about it. I'm convinced of that. The building company rang us one day and said, we love what you are doing to help the local community. We're a small church, really small. Probably 40, 50 people, that's it, maximum. The general manager had been to see me a few times, and they proceeded to give Port Care a substantial amount of money and building materials for the shop at that time. It was in the vicinity, well into the double figures. Can't remember the exact amount, but it was a lot of money. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. What was it the Lord said to Moses? I am giving you this land. Explore to overcome. Be positively charged. Disconnect from the negatives in life. So what kind of spirit are you going to have today? Are you going to decide to have a positive demeanor when the other driver cuts you off? Don't let it affect your whole day. When you hear bad news financially, when you follow the Lord, it doesn't mean he takes over all your problems. Like, you know, everything's just a sweet dream, sweet ride in life. It simply means it's an opportunity for him to overcome through your life. And if you allow him into the opportunity, your life will grow from strength to strength, and you will trust him, and your faith will be so strong and resilient, you will be able to love God, each other, and the community, and believe it with all your heart. Now, other people may affect your destiny in the short term. You know, Caleb had to go and wander around in the wilderness with all the Israelites for all their bad attitudes and bad behaviors and all their complaining. But 45 years later, he inherited the good land. He inherited. You see how crucial it is to be around great people? But he wasn't going to give up. And he went, actually, and went and walked around that land 45 years later. And he went up to Joshua, who was the new leader, and said, "Remember what Moses said." And Joshua said, "Yep, this is for you and your family and your all this land. It's all yours. To God be the glory." It's better to persevere with God than the alternative. Those people never saw the promises of God. They lost their faith. God uses, can use even what the devil puts in our path for his glory. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you that you're an incredible God. I thank you that you have our best interests at heart. And I pray today that we would be a people that would overcome and remain positively charged in Jesus' name. Amen.